Good morning, church. All right. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, Lord. Blessed are those who trust completely that you are in charge and in control. Paul trusted in God, and God responded by giving him the honor of carrying out God's will here on earth. Paul had strength, Paul had the willingness, and God kept him going.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house.
I am glad that the Lord is my strength. When I despair, I turn to him and I am cheered. When I'm angry, I turn to him and my mood is lightened. When I'm happy, I think of him and praise him. My shelter, my strong tower, my very present help at all times. Amen. Amen. To that every day, and my hearing is getting worse and worse and worse, but it's still love. Give me a second, folks. I lost my place here. All right, what did I do with it? Sorry. Or maybe glad. Oh, there we go. In the eye of the tempest, you are my safe hold. When the world is crazy, you are my sanity. When no one is for me, you stand with me. When I fall, you are there to pick me up. When I fail, you encourage me to move forward. When I am old, you will hold my hand. When I die, you will make me whole again. From my morning cry to my last gasp, you are my constant companion. I love and worship you, O God. I fear no evil, and I am happy that you are with me and I with you. Amen. Okay. Go ahead. Would you please be seated?
That is a tough song to sing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sure is. Chip's going to lead you in a responsive reading. Read this carefully, please.
There's a lot of meaning here in this short psalm. A psalm is a sacred song to be sung and accompanied with music. Psalm 130 is a lament born in the time of distress. Out of the depths of my soul, I cry to you, O Lord. The psalmist exhorts God to hear his prayer. He is at the bottom of his despair, and there is nowhere to go but up. Then he magnifies the forgiveness of God by saying, who could stand if God kept records like an accountant? No one. No one. Before Christ, forgiveness came in the form of ritual sacrifice. And without that forgiveness, men would have been desperate and would probably have resolved to take up sin as pleasure and neglect to worship and serve God. And we see that happening in today's world today, don't we? And he goes on. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than those who watch in the morning. As the shepherds watched for the sun to rise, signaling the end of the night watch, so does the psalmist wait for the return of God when he will be at peace. And last, hope is in the Lord who will redeem Israel and will redeem us from our sins. And Christ came and died for us on the cross to wipe away our sins, made ritual sacrifice unnecessary. And the psalmist waits no longer.
For those of us who have some years under our belt, and I think there's enough of us even here who have some years under our belt, we know that sometimes life can knock us around pretty good. Sometimes unexpectedly, sometimes we get knocked about because of our own doing, our own sinfulness. There's many reasons. There's many reasons. Listen, as we continue in the series in Acts, remember this, that evil will always be around until Christ comes back. God doesn't author evil. I need to reiterate that. A lot of people blame God for bad things that happen. It's not God's fault. God made us human. We have choices to make in life. And in those choices, we can pick a path that pleases God, or we can pick one that doesn't. And when we pick one that doesn't, then usually there's some ramifications to that. But in saying that, the suffering that we see here is all a result of the rebellion we saw in the Garden of Eden. And we have to keep our minds focused on that. And the thing is, it gets tiring sometimes, doesn't it? Right? It gets tiring. We hear bad reports. It's been like 3 weeks now since I even turned the news on, because it just gets too overwhelming. So I have to go to the Lord in prayer. We have a lot of people, with the resurgence of now COVID Delta, right? And people looking ahead, schools are talking about even now, kids have to come back with masks, maybe remote learning again, maybe this, maybe that. Things change every day, right? Unfortunately, things change every day. And sometimes I wish they would have not made this political, but kept it a medical issue, and it would have been much better to handle. However, we live in this world, and God calls us, for Christ followers, that if we are in this world, but we're not to be of it. We are to be living as aliens, believe it or not. The King James calls us peculiar people. Anybody here peculiar? Okay, thank you. And what that means is that we don't buy into the world system, but we are fully engaged in the Word of God, the will of God, and the Holy Spirit. And so, as we go to prayer today, I know we have people battling with some major illnesses. I know, you know, Gloria's still recovering from a serious stroke. Gail Hahn's still going through chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer. And there are others that are ailing also. However, I want to pray for those today who are hurting emotionally and spiritually. Can we do that? All right. And many times those needs go unknown, because, you know, there are some people who wear their hearts on their sleeve, right? You can tell something's wrong with them, and they're okay with sharing it. But there are many people who don't, and they kind of keep them to themselves or bury them, and that's not a good thing sometimes. Because when you bury something, it just enlarges itself, and that's not good. So why don't we do this? God knows our needs. God knows what we're battling with. So let's take it to him in prayer, and let's leave it at the cross. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, everybody in this world goes through problems. There is no such thing, Father, as a perfect life. There is no such thing as perfect circumstances, not in this present evil world. But you call us to live in this world as salt and light, as contrasted to the bitterness and the darkness that the world system offers. But Father, today I want to pray for those who are struggling emotionally for whatever reason. I pray that you lift them up, encourage them in their spirit. I want to pray for those who are struggling spiritually. Perhaps they haven't read the scriptures in a while. Perhaps they haven't prayed in a while. Holy Spirit, I pray you nudge them back to where they need to be. I pray for those, Father, who might be down and don't even know why. I pray, Father, that you would come alongside of them and walk them along. I pray, Father, for those right now in the eye of the storm, that whatever is swirling around them, that you would help each and every one keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we lift all these people up to you, and we pray this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you. Today's one of those days where I've been dropping everything. Dropsies, yeah. Is that age thing or what? That's a, well, you get a gold star. And you said no. My mind still thinks I'm 21. My body doesn't. But okay. All right. Listen. We have been through some very bad storms, haven't we? Right? It'll be a long time since before we'll forget the impact of Superstorm Sandy. Remember that? There are people who lost their homes. Some lost lives in Superstorm Sandy. Some were without electricity for a long time, like us. More recently, we've been affected by the COVID virus. A virus you can't even see with the naked eye brings us down to our knees. Isn't that something? Right? And, you know, many businesses and churches were shut down. Some may never open again. Never open again. We're told not to leave our homes until absolutely necessary. Remember those days? Now, I don't know about you, but I get cabin fever in 2 hours. So I was not happy, a camper, in those days. And now, just as it seems, we thought we had this vaccine and it was going to be under control, there's been a resurgence of the Delta variant. And people rightly, I think, concerned, nervous, and listen, you should take whatever precautions you and your doctor agree on to protect yourselves. And that's why I say, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You know, just be smart. Excuse me, I think the most important thing is to wash your hands. Wash them often, but wash them, all right? Because, you know, we usually infect ourselves with our hands. But because, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Because of the pandemic, new stresses are put on people and family. People are just getting back to work. Excuse me one sec. They're getting, you know, back to work, and I'm sure in the back of their minds they're saying, well, this is going to mean that we're going to close down again. So the stresses include financial, physical, emotional stresses, and sometimes spiritual stresses. So the question I want to raise this morning is this: where's Jesus in the storm? That's a fair question, right? Where's Jesus in the storm? And the reason why it's a fair question is because in the American church, we've painted, not everybody, but too many churches have painted a false picture of Jesus. They almost make Jesus like the Santa Claus, right? If you be good and do good, everything is going to be fine. Well, that's not the way it works sometimes, right? The one who did absolute good with no sin on this earth ended up going through kangaroo courts and ended up on the cross, right? And so we really had to put this in perspective. And he ended up on the cross not as a criminal, but as the Savior who lived the perfect life we can't live to pay our sin. But you see, 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the dead. And he's alive. All right? And that's important going forward. I want to take you through this narrative, and I'll take you real quick through it. This is the Apostle Paul. Dr. Luke is writing this. Keep this in mind. Luke is a physician, and he writes detail. Now, Paul has already gone through three courts, and all three courts couldn't find anything criminally wrong with him. But he appealed to Caesar. He wanted to be tried before Caesar in Rome. So here's where we are. They depart for Rome. This whole process by now is about 2.5 years old, okay? When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. Now, we're setting up the cast of people here, right? You got Paul, you got Luke, you probably have Timothy in the mix, and a couple of other people, and Julius, the centurion in charge of the prisoners. And it says, when we boarded a ship from Adramidum, I think you pronounce it that way, right? About to sail for ports along the coast of the Asian province, and we put out to sea. That's important because the reason why they sailed along the coast is because they were entering the fall, and the fall brings storms that damage ships, and some ships are lost in the storms. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. So now we have Aristarchus there, okay? So here's the thing about Aristarchus. I don't know if it's... Aristarchus, we find out, was a voluntary prisoner. Can you picture this? A voluntary prisoner who volunteered because he was a Christ follower and he wanted to help Paul. And the only way he could be with Paul was to be a voluntary prisoner. You talk about being all sold in for Christ, right? He said, "Now, Paul, I'm going with you. We're going to see this through together, because this is what the Lord wants for us." It says, the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in the kindness to Paul — Paul was well-liked by the prison officials, because he didn't make any trouble. He was leading people to Christ. He didn't make any trouble. He allowed him to go to his friends so that they may provide for the needs. You know, sometimes I have to think what a sense of humor God has. Here's a guy who's under arrest, and yet the guy guarding him says, "Look, go see your friends." I mean, he had to trust Paul. He wasn't going to run away. Listen, I'm a big Hogan's Heroes fan. right? I don't know if you ever watched Hogan's Heroes, but Sergeant Schultz, right? I could picture Julius being Schultz, you know. Go see your friends, but promise you're not going to run away, you know. Just go see your friends. Yeah, I see nothing, right? God is in control of this whole situation. It says, from there, we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus, where the winds were against us. Now they're coming into the fall, where the winds would fight them, all right? When we sailed across the open sea off the coast of Sicily and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia, all right? So, you have this, you know, developing here, and it says there were the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. This was a bigger ship now. The centurion must have figured, this is Julius, the centurion must have figured there's going to be a lot of storms. We need a bigger ship. What would you rather be on in the middle of a storm, a 12-foot rowboat or a cabin cruiser or a luxury cruise, all right? I've never been on a luxury cruise, but I understand they're usually pretty stable in the water. But, you know, the bigger ships made a lot more sense. So they all got off. One ship got onto the bigger ship. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. Now, they had difficulty. The wind was against them. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite Salmone, however you want to say it, okay? We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called, what's the name? Fair Havens, near the town of Lessi, okay? So, here you go. Have you ever, you know, Paul knows that this is all in God's providence, and he's going to go to Rome because God promised him that he was going to go to Rome to proclaim the gospel, but it's not moving too fast. Have you ever come to a place where you thought God wasn't moving fast enough? Right? God says, slow down. I have a purpose in all of this. But Lord, I just want to get there. I want to, you know, no. Slow down. I have a purpose in all of this. And how many times we fight the Lord in this, right? And listen, I want you to see what happens next. Fairhaven would have given them some shelter, although for a winter port, wasn't the best place to be. Since much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because now it was the it was after the Day of Atonement, which is the beginning of fall. So Paul warned them. Paul's got the ship's captain, the centurion, and the owner of the ship probably, and he's saying, look, says, men, I can see our voyage is going to be a disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our lives also. Now, I don't know if this was a word from the Lord or something that Paul shared from experience. Emily, can you bring me to 2 Corinthians? Okay. I want to read this with you from 2 Corinthians. This was written before Paul's journey to Rome. Listen to this. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was what? Shipwrecked. And I spent a night and a day in the open sea. You think Paul was talking from experience here? You know, here's a godly man talking from experience. Maybe a word from the Lord. I don't know. The scripture's silent on this. But what do you think happened? Well, they disregarded him. How many times have you and I got in trouble because we disregarded some wisdom from a godly person or wisdom from the Word of God? more often than I like to admit, right? And so, if we can go back to the passage. There we go. All right, let me catch up here. So Paul warned them, right? But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Big mistake. Well, but God is still in control, right? Since the harbor was unstable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Not quite sure how that works, but it says, when a gentle wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. Now, here they were looking for an excuse to go. So gentle wind came up, didn't look dangerous, looked like the weather was going to be okay. So they weighed the anchor, they took up the anchor, and they sailed along the coast of Crete. Before very long, a wind of what? Hurricane force called the Northeaster. We've had a few of those. Swept down from the island. Well, they were in trouble now, right? The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. Now, we got a couple of boaters here, but a ship heading into the wind has a much better chance of surviving than when it doesn't, correct? Right? We're okay with that? So we gave way to it, and we were driven along. They were at the mercy of the wind. As we passed to the lee of a small island in Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. There was a little boat they dragged behind them. So the man hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes underneath the ship itself to hold it together. I don't know how they did this, but they wanted to tie the ship, make it tighter, to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Sardis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a, what kind of beating? Violent beating from the storm that the next day they began to throw over the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. This storm lasted a long time. A long time. Some of us get nervous when we get a violent thunderstorm that lasts for 20 minutes, right? This was days. When neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up what? All hope of being saved. Now listen, how many times have we been in the storms of life where it just seemed to go on and on and on and wore us down? Have you ever been there? Just wore us down, you know? And this is where they were. But listen, here's the crux to the whole thing, okay? After they had gone a long time without food, they were hungry, weak. Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete." Well, I think he had the right to say that, right? Yeah, listen, you should have listened to me. You know, I was shipwrecked three times. And I could tell you what would happen. I'm kind of a sailor who's been around, right? Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. And he continues, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Now, because of the next line, I know this is from the Lord. We know this definitely. And what an insurance. Liz, have you ever had have you ever felt so weary, so beat down, that God sends to you a godly person and says, "Come on, don't give up"? We need encouragers. We need people like Barnabas. True encourage, not flatterers, encouragers. There's a difference. Flattery is manipulation. Encouraging is coming alongside somebody and say, come on, let's go on. Let's go on together. God's got this. And not in a phony way, but a very sincere way. Look at this verse. This is tremendous. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. So God sends an angel. You know what angel means? Anybody? No? How long you been in church? Angel means messenger. Angelos is in the original language. It means messenger. Angels are messengers from God, and the angel wants to relay a message here to Paul. This is stunning. I want you to notice this comes at the time of when they lost all hope. There are many theologians, principally the Puritan theologians, who call God the 11th hour God. When it seems like everything is hopeless, God shows up. But it's his timing, and he's in control. Look what happens here. And he said, do not be afraid. Hearing that from an angel must have been awesome. Don't be afraid, Paul. There are 365 do not be afraid commands in Scripture. Do you think that was an accident? There's one for every day. There's one for every day. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. And what the angel is saying is God's keeping his promise. He wants you to preach the gospel in Rome. And for that, you're going to have to stand trial before Caesar. And God is going to spare your lives, but not the boat, right? And I love this. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. That's tremendous. So keep up your courage. I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. You know, sometimes I think we look for the wrong things, even as Christ followers. Listen, every prayer is important to God, okay? I don't want to belittle that. But could it be sometimes we even pray for the wrong things? Sometimes we could pray for things that might not be right for us, might hurt us, or we're not ready for. And God sometimes will say, come on, not yet, not yet. Could it be that when we face a storm, we just want God to take it away, make things all better right away? And that doesn't happen sometimes. I'm being as honest with you as I can. Because, we live in a country where we don't even talk about suffering anymore. We don't talk, even in the churches, we don't talk about a theology of suffering. When you are a follower of Christ, when you are being lovingly obedient through the power of the Holy Spirit, even when you do right, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get pushback. Why? Because the world is a hostile place. That's why you're going to get pushback. But we have to keep our courage. Keep up your courage. I'm going to bring up this reference. I know Mary Lou's not going to like this because it's not her favorite movie. But remember The Wizard of Oz? Right? What did the lion want? Courage. The only problem with that is he didn't know really where courage came from. It doesn't come from the wizard, right? Courage can only come from a settled relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the only place courage can come from. And that's reaffirmed by the Word and the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you this morning, Let's just do a little experiment here. You don't have to be specific. Just with a show of hands. Within the next month, how many of you are facing tough decisions? Okay. All right. And in these tough decisions, there's a certain amount of apprehension, correct? A certain amount of uncertainty. I have to laugh. I had somebody one time tell me, and they claimed to be a Christ follower, but they told me they went to see a psychic. And they said, why in the world would you even go see a psychic? Well, I wanted to know what was going to happen with my job and this and that. I said, listen, I don't care what the psychic said. Nobody knows. Nobody. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, except that I'm going to close this out, okay? I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. You don't either. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah. I woke up this morning. I woke up to a text where I found out somebody who was otherwise healthy had passed away. So you don't know. You don't know that was, you know, what's going to happen. And it's one of those things that life can be tough sometimes. But I do know this. We can't give up hope because God's in control. Listen, even if Paul was killed in this shipwreck, God still would have gotten the gospel to Rome. Right? I mean, sometimes we think God can't operate the universe without us. Right? Listen, Lord, I'll tell you what to do. Right? I'll tell you what to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay off everybody's mortgage. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And we give God a laundry list rather than coming to him and say, Lord, I really don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me trust you to go forward. Help me trust you to go forward. In the eye of the storm, right? I think I got lyrics here. Let me just, Chip, I'm stealing your papers, okay? There was one, it says, when I fail, you are there to pick me up. When I fail, you encourage me to move forward. And I love this. When I am old, you will hold my hand. I mean, these are truths. These are truths. Even before that, I can't find it. But he talks about betrayal, right? When your family and friends have betrayed you. I don't think there's anything more painful than that. You know, and we've probably all been through it to some extent. When your family and friends betray you, that's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to Jesus. When he was in the temple teaching, his mother and his brothers were there, and she says to his brothers, go into the temple. He's lost his mind. And then when he was on his way to the cross, everybody abandoned him. His closest friends. Except the women, by the way. Closest friends. But in the eye of the storm, he's in control. Do you remember? Peter's one of my favorite characters, by the way. You know why? Because he's a big mouth. He speaks, you know, before he thinks. And, you know, many times he has to take his words back. But remember the storm on the sea. Jesus wasn't in the boat, but the apostles went out. Peter's in the boat. And they were scared. They thought they were going to die. And they thought a ghost was coming to them, right? And Jesus says this, do not be afraid. It is me. It is I. Apologize for the grammar. It is I. And at that point, Peter knew it was Jesus walking on the water. So what does he say? Hey, I want to do that, right? Lord, I want to do that. You know, can you show me how to do it, Lord? I want to do that. Now, listen, I'm making a little fun of Peter here, but I don't know if I were in that boat, I would have taken that first step out of the boat. Peter did. And for that, I give him a lot of credit. But he kept his eyes on Jesus. And the scripture says when he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the wind and the waves, he started to do what? Sink. And Jesus had to reach down and graciously pull him up and say, Peter, keep watching me. We need to stay focused on Jesus. And he will lead us. Listen, I'm going to tell you something I found out many years ago, and theologically it's true. Jesus doesn't push us from behind. Never does that. He stands in front of us and invites us. Come. Come with me. You look at any place with scripture in the Bible, and you will see that Jesus always invites. You going through a storm? Come follow me. Keep your eyes on me. I'll take you by the hand if you start to sink, but keep your eyes on me. I can't emphasize this enough. You know what I believe is the greatest testimony in this world? Is when the world sees you and I going through these storms, still faithful to Jesus. I think that's the greatest testimony. Because where does the world go? I listed some storms of life here. The death of a loved one. Divorce. A diagnosis of a terminal disease. A diagnosis of a chronic disease. A loss of a job. A serious auto accident. Losing a house in a superstorm or fire. I mean, I could have gone on and on. But listen, you know, these things happen. This is the world we live in. But where do you go for encouragement? Do you go to the liquor bottle? Do you go to friends who really don't know anything about the Lord? Do you go to drugs? Do you go to immorality? Do you go to whatever? What is your escape? You know the problem with the world's solutions? It will never see you through successfully through the problem. Only Jesus will. Only Jesus will. I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward, please. If you're going through a tough time today, you're facing stuff that, you know, you're scratching your head over. You're wondering what's going to happen. I'm going to give you the same answer I gave when someone else who I know told me they went to see a psychic, all right? And this person wasn't a believer in Christ, but this person said, I just wanted to find out what's going to happen in the future. And I said, it's very simple. Here's what's going to happen. And I said this as best as I could. If you die without Christ, you'll spend an eternity in hell. But if you come to Christ, he'll give you new life, forgiveness, and new purpose. That much I can tell you. And he said, there's part two to this. Jesus is coming back again. That's part two. The decision is ours. Would you stand, please?
Holy, holy.
want to thank you for taking the time to come out this morning. I know summertime can be tough sometimes. Thank you to our guest. It's good to have you here. And as we dismiss, let me pray. Listen, I hope you have a good week, right? We deserve a good week once in a while, right? Rejoice in the victories. We don't celebrate victories anymore, and that's too bad. Rejoice in the victories, but when the hard times come, give yourself to God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the practicality of your word, the example of both Jesus' life and Paul's life. And Father, as we go through life, as we face things that, quite frankly, can surprise us sometimes, may we put our trust in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, our Savior, our refuge, and our hope. Dismiss us in the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hey, not bad for a small group. Have a great day. I need